WFM, we're back at the Museum of Television and Radio. Andy Fisher, thanks so much for coming by with that tape and for reminiscing. You're with NBC.
My pleasure. Yeah,
NBC Television News now.
I write for the Today Show, so I'm still working in the morning.
Uh-huh.
As a matter of fact, I have to go back and produce the West Coast update for the report from Boston on the sentencing of Louise Woodward. And the reporter is Pat Dawson.
Pat, also from WNEW-FM.
Another name from the past.
Kind of a, I don't want to say a minor player because his work was so good, but, you know, weekends and some overnights. And Pat is now a big correspondent for NBC Television. So many people have come out of our ranks to go on to all kinds of
what is it they say? There's only
things.
About 40
and
or 50 people in this business. And,
and everybody comes from WNEW-FM.
That's it.
Hey, when do
Andy
I get
Fisher,
to be president?
Thanks, man.
Goodbye,
thanks
Dave,
a lot.
And thank you.
Let's play a song that was a big hit on the day we went on the air, that was actually charting. Let's do that, because a lot of the stuff has come out since then. Here's one that actually was a hit record 30 years ago today at 102.7 WNEW-FM.
When the truth is found to be...
Back here at the Museum of Television and Radio, celebrating our 30th birthday. Heading into the home stretch, final half hour of our Rock and Roll Morning Show, then Pete Fornatel and all of his wonderful memories and guests take over later today, of course. The professor will be here at the museum from 1 to 4. Pat St. John arrives at 4. He goes until 7 here. Come on down, 25 West 52nd Street. This is our day to reminisce, to remember, to tell stuff, stories, personal stories on the air that have never been told before. And I got one for you right now, which was a rather fascinating time and a great memory for me. It happened in June of 1978. The Stones were about to do a limited tour, I think only a 20-city tour. This was the tour that Love You Live album became the album of that tour. It was the summer of 78. The band was rehearsing at the Bearsville Studios in Woodstock, New York. Mick had asked me to come up to do maybe 5 or 10 minutes of tape. Nothing extensive, no big interview. All he wanted to do was announce the dates and announce the tour. So I said, for sure, and they sent a car, and we drove up to Woodstock, and the car had to be parked by a Century gate at the head of the Woodstock studios. There was a thing across the road, and the guy called up ahead that I was here, and I had to walk up this big road. And I walked up this dirt road, and as I made the turn and saw kind of a complex of buildings is what they have up there, there was a little girl playing on the playing in the grass, and my contact person was Ian Stewart. Ian Stewart was their publicist, Marty, at the time?
Yeah, Ian was the sixth stone. He was the keyboard player for many, many years.
But he must have acted at coordinating publicity, because that was my contact. And I see this little girl, and I said, "Excuse me, honey, do you know where I would find Ian Stewart?" And I hear her go, "Is that the one they call Stu?" And I realized immediately that it was Jade. That it was Mick's little girl. This is 1978, and she must have been maybe 8 years old, 7 or 8 years old. And just then, behind her was a house, a two-story house, and there was a balcony across the top of the house, an outside walkway. Stepping out, wearing an apron, was Mick Jagger. And he goes, "Hey, Dave, how are you?" And he goes, "Come on, honey, supper time." So Jade and I walk up the steps and go into the living quarters where Mick was, and it was just Mick and his little girl. And it was a rare opportunity to see not the Mick Jagger, but, you know, Mick Jagger, just a man who has a daughter and has to get her supper. And he said, "I hope you don't mind waiting a few minutes, but she hasn't eaten yet. I'm just about to make her a sandwich. Would that be okay?" Mick says to me. I said, "Sure." So I just kind of sat there and watched him make her a sandwich and cook up some spaghetti. And they sat and ate, and he was a great dad, and they were joking around. And then he actually did this very brief interview with Jade on his lap. And he said to her, "Now, honey, listen, this is not for a magazine or a newspaper. We're going to be on the radio. So if you want to sit here, you've got to be quiet." And I'm thinking, this is unbelievable. I mean, no one's ever sees this Mick Jagger. And he was just great. And so here's a little piece of what we talked about this tour and about rehearsing and about going on the road, which is still applicable today because they're still on the road. With Jade on Mick's lap, we go back to June of 1978. And I'm kind of talking to him about whether he gets nervous or not before he starts his tour, because the tour was opening in about a week or so.
You know, the first show is usually a bit rusty. I mean, like, it goes a bit slowly. I mean, that's the thing, is to build up so you can really, you know, go straight through without any stops, more or less, which is what I like to do. But inevitably, things go wrong, and they're not always our fault, you know. On the first shows, you know, so we got to get it together to, you know, when the first couple of shows.
But if tomorrow night were the first night, you'd be...
I'm
assuming you were ready. I mean, you'd be a bit more jittery than you are, let's say, this evening when you're 10 days away.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Sure. I'd be a little jittery, yeah, this time next week.
Man and boy. Also, to good old Scott, who's played our records come hell and high water. And to Dave, just because I know him. Anyway, it's Ringo just wishing you the best of the day. And I send my love from California, where the sun is shining, and so am I. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
He starts ordering stingers, which I'd never had in my life. So we had so many of these stingers until about 11:30. And I got, you know, I couldn't even like feel my skin. It was amazing. And he's fine. And he's having three for every one of mine. So we get up, and there's a couple of cars that we're all in, and we drive back to the Hilton Hotel in Lakeland, Florida. It's like a Tuesday night. There is nobody there. And as we, you know, walk through the door, I'm barely standing. They just go straight to the bar, you know, and somebody's got his arm, come on, and Rod's got his arm, and go into the bar. And we go in the bar, and there is no one there except for one couple and a piano player. The couple is sitting in a booth way in the back in the corner, and they go right up to the bar, stinger for Dave, they go, you know, they start ordering around. And there's a guy at the piano, and Rod Stewart just takes a drink, and he walks over to the piano player. And he kind of, with his, you know, with his behind, moves him over a little bit, sits down next to the piano player and goes, do you know Tura Lura Lura? And the piano player looks at it. It's Rod, you know, there's no one in the world who looks like Rod Stewart. He's instantly recognizable. And he says, yeah. And he does Tura Lura Lura. He sings Tura Lura Lura. And the only people in the bar, two people way in the back, and the few of us who were with him at the bar. After that, he says, do you know one for my baby and one more for the road? He goes, yeah. And he starts singing all of these incredible standards. I don't know if you can hear him singing these songs, but he did them incredibly. And about the second song in, because his voice is also totally, you know, there's nobody sounds like him. These two people turn around. The only two people in the bar at the Hilton in Lakeland, Florida, they look and there's Rod Stewart sitting at the piano singing all these incredible songs for just them, really. And I'm thinking, tomorrow night, there's going to be 45,000 people at Tampa Stadium to see this guy. Here are these two. But if you were there and you realized what was going on, you realized that these two people weren't supposed to be there with each other. It was very, very clear. So I'm thinking, these two people, and Rod did about 40 minutes at the piano with the guy. And I'm thinking, here are two people who are having the most incredible experience in the world, and they won't be able to tell anyone. That's the truth. Here's something real interesting in that Rod Stewart interview that happened just a few hours before that when we did the interview. Because we talked in 1977 about making rock and roll music. How many more years can people keep doing it?
I had a long time to dream about it, you see. I had a hell of a long time to dream about it. From when I first started singing to when, I don't know when you would say I was successful. Let's say when Every Picture Tells a Story and Maggie May were number one in the charts. That may
absolutely.
Be. Then it struck home. But then I didn't have much time to think about it. I was whisked off to do 6 months tour of America and then back to England, another tour of America. So, and it's been like that ever since. And that's the only way I'd want it, you know? If I have 5 days off to do nothing, I get bored stiff.
You're a workaholic.
Oh, yeah. I love
need
it.
You're
getting paid for something you love doing, and this is the only thing I can do anyway. So I've got to make the most of it.
And you think it can just go on and on and on, this kind of work?
I believe so, yeah. I wouldn't want to be singing, doing what I'm doing now when I'm 40, you know? It's... I don't know. No one really knows what's going to happen in this business. I think that's also one of the beauties of it.
I asked Keith Richard that. I said, Keith, could you do it till you're in your 70s?
I think he would. I don't think Mick would.
Keith had a good answer.
Yeah.
He said, you know, when jazz first started out, he said, you know, in the 20s, everybody thought it was a real young person's music. And people never realized that, like, Count Basie and Duke Ellington, all these guys would be playing their music and still playing it great in their 70s and 80s. He said, now, rock and roll's only 20, 25 years old. So Keith Richards said this, we can't really tell yet whether we can keep making this music, you know, till we die.
Oh, I think Keith could keep making the music until he dies. I can't see Mick rushing around the stage in his 40s, though.
That's great to hear that. That was 20 years ago when Rod Stewart said, well, Keith can do it, I don't think. And, of course, the Stones are on a world tour right now at 102.7 WNEW-FM. By surprise, there. By surprise. Yeah, that's Rod Stewart. That's my little Rod Stewart story. At 102.7 WNEW-FM, we are at the Museum of Television and Radio, 25 West 52nd Street, for our 30th anniversary celebration. And we invite you to stop by if you're in the area. We'll be here until 7 p.m. Pete Fornatel, my buddy, is about to take over the reins of this live broadcast.
Hey! Good morning!
I said this many, many times on the air, but Pete is perhaps, of all the human beings who walk the planet Earth, the one person that I see just about every single day, probably more than I see my own wife, because she's taken, you know, vacations and gone away or whatever, and I know you longer than I know. I only know her 15 years.
Oh.
We're only married 12.
Yeah.
But you I've seen just about every single day since 1972. Pete.
Well, this year, you know, this year has really been going back, you know, how things go full circle, what goes around comes around, that sort of stuff. I just consider everything that has happened since January 2nd, 1997, to be a real blessing, you know.
I've told many people that to me it was just a gift. And hopefully it's been a gift for many, many people who listen to us.
Yeah, and, you know, this is another point that should be made. Sometimes when you're in the middle of something, you don't appreciate it until you go away from it for a while.
I think it's part of being human.
And then come back to it, which is something you and I did.
We have had a chance to do
over
that.
Over the last couple of years.
Pete is going to carry on here for the next several hours. I want to thank our producer, the Rock and Roll Smarty.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Marty.
The newest member of the WNEW-FM air staff and certainly the Rock and Roll Morning Show, the mistress of information, Karen Stewart. I can't tell you how pleased we are that Karen joined the show. I mean, we're like a little dysfunctional family, but she's like, we're like brothers and sister.
Yes.
And you know, when there's two brothers and one sister, you know how much crap the sister gets. So, Karen,
yeah.
You're our girl.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We'll see you all tomorrow morning, back on Monday morning.
Monday
actually.
Morning.
Stay tuned. Pete's going to be here. Everybody listening at home, just stay tuned. So many, many more surprises are coming throughout the day. Have yourself a great Halloween. It's Halloween.
I know that.
Spooky things to you and a great weekend. This is Dave Herman at 102.7 WNEW-FM.
Monday, 102.7 WNEW-FM, New York.